Idaho lawmakers have repeatedly turned down proposals to expand the Medicaid rolls in the state. The original Affordable Care Act, passed by Congress under President Obama, provided that Medicaid would be offered to anyone making under 100% of the federal poverty level. That provision was challenged by the Supreme Court. States then decided they would move individually to expand Medicaid coverage. So far, 33 have taken that step. Proponents of expanding the coverage in Idaho say because of earnings requirements under ACA and the way Medicaid is set up, there are an estimated 62,000 state residents who make too little to qualify for subsidies under ACA or make too much to qualify for Medicaid. Prop 2 proponent Emily Strizich says the end result is many people who make under the federal poverty level and who are working full-time have no way of finding affordable health care.
So for a family of four, if they make over $5,000 a year, they do not qualify for any assistance through Medicaid. And to be able to get a subsidy, they have to make over $25,000 a year. So that leaves a big gap in the middle. And, you know, we know that Idaho has one of the highest populations of minimum wage workers. So if you're working 40-hour weeks at minimum wage, that's only $15,000 a year.
Those opposed to the expansion say some of the poorest workers in the state still qualify for ACA and thus are getting a bargain for health coverage. Fred Birnbaum of the Idaho Freedom Foundation, a conservative think tank, cites the case of a single low-income individual with no dependents.
So if your income was as low as $12,250 at age 33, the silver plan with no deductible would be $11 a month. Okay. If your age was 55, it would be $2.25 a month.
Emily Strizich points out that scenario is for someone who is right at the 100% point of the federal poverty level and that anyone below that income would not qualify for ACA subsidies. In addition, if they're a parent with a single child and make over just $289 gross a month, they make too much to get Medicaid. The proposition calls for changing the system so anyone making up to 138% of the federal poverty level will qualify for Medicaid. But opponent Fred Birnbaum worries that some will take advantage of such a system and that it will encourage people to not find work in this currently robust economy.
So you're basically saying to people, you don't have to work even if you're able-bodied and you will get health care. Or if you do work, don't earn over this amount, because you will lose your 100% taxpayer-subsidized health care.
Proponents say the state will actually save money by expanding Medicaid to cover that gap population. As it stands, the federal government will pay 90% of the expansion, with the state picking up the remaining 10%. Emily Strigid says because the state currently allocates money for an indigent and catastrophic coverage fund for those who need it, that expense would go away if Medicaid enrollment is increased.
The legislature passed a bill that was about $36 million for the state catastrophic funds. And I know here in Latah County, they're spending between $500,000 and $600,000 every year in indigent funds. So that 10% state cost would be absorbed by the reduction to the catastrophic and indigent funds.
Expansion opponent Fred Birnbaum says while the feds are now currently funding the Medicaid expansion at 90%, that may not always be the case.
If the federal government at some point has to bring its books into balance, then it won't be able to pay 90%. Traditional Medicaid is funded at a 70-30 ratio. Well, let's say they tried to say, well, they're both going to be 70. So then it means Idaho would have to pick up 30 and not 10. And that could be several $100 million more a year for Idaho.
An actuarial firm, Milliman, conducted an analysis for the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare on the costs of the expansion. The report indicates the expansion in a single year would cost the state about $45 million, but would also generate about $40 million in offsets from the indigent fund. It estimated that the cost over a 10-year period to the state would be $105 million. Proposition proponent Emily Strizich feels that may only tell part of the financial side of the issue, and there are likely to be some other cost benefits related to the expansion.
And then thinking about kind of that trickle down, you know, not only in St. Mary's, for instance, they just recently had to close their OB department. So if you were able to reopen the OB department and hire another physician to work in that community, you know, not only is that physician working in that community, but then, you know, maybe her family is going out to dinner, her family is, getting haircuts.
Strigit cites a University of Idaho study that estimates some $20 million could be added to the Idaho tax rolls if the expansion is approved. Birnbaum argues that the so-called multiplier effect only works in a recessionary economic period and not in the current booming economy. I'm Steve Jackson reporting.